The following podcast of The Bench is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BENCH101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Use promo code BENCH101.
ESPN 97.5. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Which can cause cramping and diarrhea.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Well, I am in the studio in Houston, Texas, along with Dell. But Lance in St. Pete, Florida, joining us live via his... Are you on your cell phone? Are you on your...
Yeah.
You're on your phone, right?
I'm on my iPad, yeah.
On your iPad. Yeah,
had some issues yesterday, but just getting it connected, and this morning, all of a sudden, it randomly will connect, and I think it's a pretty good connection, so we're good to go. I'm about this is 100% accurate. I'm at a Courtyard by Marriott, and where I am staying, I got booked late to come here. I wasn't going to come here, and then they sent me late. So the hotel where I usually stay is all booked up. So now I am 0.6 miles based on, because I walked over to Starbucks to go get my morning coffee. There's a flop house right in my direct path. And, I've got a picture of a guy who's just bare feet, scrounging around looking for cigarette butts. I mean, it could be needles. I don't know. But on the ground, just kind of looking all over the place, just strung out this morning when I'm going. I'm like, yep, here I am.
So here did you give him a cigarette or...
No, I don't have one, but...
Do you buy him a pack?
I'll never forget Lance Berkman. I can't remember which one it is. Either Tampa's the one that Lance... Not Lance Berkman, but Lance McCullers hates claiming... I think he's from Tampa, and he doesn't like St. Pete being put on him. Like, he's like, they should not call it Tampa St. Pete. It's Tampa, and then there's St. Pete. Don't call him like Tampa St. Pete, which is what people say, because he said, you know, that's the dirty side.
Oh, well, like
kind of like with me and Richmond Rosenberg.
Kind of like
I'm Richmond.
Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Yeah, probably. I've never been there, but probably.
Yeah, I mean, the dirty side is probably. Yep. I don't know which side's the dirty side. If you want to know the truth, I do. You're there for the East West game, right?
Yeah, I'm for practices. I'll be back Wednesday night.
Yeah, go see my guy Jack Fox. He's there.
Yeah, I've already watched Jack. I think he's got a shot.
Yeah, he's the Rice punter. Great kid.
Yeah.
Great kid.
He led the nation in total punt attempts. That shouldn't surprise
well,
you.
Well, that is not surprising in the least. I don't know
like, I pulled up all his punts, and it was like this giant scroll just came on. I'm like, oh, I'm not doing this.
I'm not looking at everyone.
I have a database that has all the stats sent me. It's pretty cool if you're, you know, into kicking stats. And Jack Fox's name, and I'm like, oh, I sorted it by punt attempts. Like, yeah, Rice punter had the most. That figures.
That really figures. You know, you tweeted this morning about transfer portal, What? That's the like the new term for 2019.
They have entered the transfer portal.
Transfer portal. Yeah. It's right. Where all the kids, all the kids are going these days, yeah. Getting out of whatever situation they're in. And actually, it's a good deal. It's a great place for coaches to go find kids to go and move on from places that they don't want to be.
So it's like a Tinder for college football?
It kind of really is. Okay. You swipe right. I want this. I want you. Right. I don't want you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That is it. But at least it's a place, you know what, as opposed to what it was where kids are out there and nobody knows, or, you know, it's a place for you to go find some players if you need some players, and for kids to go to places that want them. I mean, I like the idea. It's finally something for the kids as opposed to everything for the schools. This is a great place for kids to go. But it's not great for, I would say, Rice seeing this. JT's class, I think there's one or two kids left from his entire class now. Everyone else has transferred out.
They love them some David Bailiff, I guess.
But it's
the other way around. Oh, I thought it was after David left.
Well, the whole thing just fell apart. I mean, it was, you know, even before David Bailiff left, guys were leaving. It's been a disaster there. But it's going to be awfully. For Blomgren to get that thing going, it's going to be so, so difficult because he just is starting at zero. That was the worst team in college football. I played UTEP for the worst team in college football, and they lost at home. So that's a situation that it's going to take a while. If you're Rice, you just gotta understand this thing is going to be bad for more than a couple of years. So, but the transfer portal is a great place for kids to go, and it seems like it's Jalen Hurts out there. Dell, how's that Miami trip going? How'd that Miami trip go for Jalen?
Well, you gotta understand something. First, Jalen went to Maryland on a Saturday to go watch a basketball. Friday night, Saturday morning, go watch a basketball game, and it's not the greatest weather in that area right now. He took a trip to Oklahoma to talk to Lincoln Riley, who apparently told the best quarterback recruit in the country that he wasn't going to take any transfer quarterbacks. And Saturday afternoon, Jalen's in town, so he'll have a conversation with his incoming freshman. And then Jalen flew in to Miami last night and was at club, is it Live? I don't know how to pronounce it. Live or Live with bottle service. And a girl in who provides a bottle, holding up an electronic sign that said Jalen Hurts to the U. So, Jalen, I'm going to imagine the trip to College Park was different from the trip to Norman and definitely different from the trip to Miami. All in like 48 to 72-hour span.
I would imagine Miami's a little bit different than Maryland was. I'm not sure, but probably a little. Although, you never know what they were doing for him in Maryland either.
That's true.
Jalen doesn't seem to be a bottle service guy.
Hey, I don't know what Jalen Hurts is.
I don't know what he's about either.
In our hearts, if it all comes down to it, in college, we're all bottle service guys. You may not feel like you are until you got bottle service girls, and then you're like, well, maybe I am a bottle service guy.
You know what?
Guy.
Bottle service ain't so bad.
Bottle service is a whole lot better when you don't have to pay.
Yeah, bottle service is excellent when you're just when they keep throwing bottles at you.
Yeah, the two guys who took him were the two upcoming Pickers. Senior linebackers, Pinkney and Shaq Quarterman, who were team leaders. So they gave him the tour of Miami. They've been there for 3+ years now, and they gave him a tour.
Well, yeah, was Devin there?
Nevin's in jail.
Nevin didn't show up?
No, he's in jail. He can't show up if you're in jail.
Whoa. Then were there stripper
parties? I don't know if you know this, John, but Miami was a party place before Nevin, and it's a party place after Nevin.
He didn't start Miami.
He is Miami, okay?
No, he's not.
It's a lot bigger than him. Hey, so on the way out here, I'm watching the Saints because I got to fly out here, so I'm watching the Saints. And I'm like, you know, I have a rooting interest for the Saints. And it was a bad start. It was not an optimal start at 14-0. And I'm like, Nick Foles is going to do this again. And you know what? And, okay, 14-0, and then there were a couple of big key plays. There was Lattimore's interception was huge and turning. That was one of them. And, of course, the fake punt with Taysom Hill was another one. 4th-and-1 on their own side of the field. And the Saints could feel it slipping away. And Sean Payton, and this is what a good head coach will do. Understanding when momentum must shift and then having the right. And it's not like Philly. I think Philly was ready for it, and they just couldn't stop it. But that thing turned into a grind. They didn't, you know, the Eagles didn't score. The Eagles offensively have been very, very, they've been very lukewarm and tepid for much of the year. And that's what happened to them again. They got off to a quick start and then nothing, nothing for in quarters two, three, and four. But there Nick Foles was going down 20-14, pushing him down the field. And I'm like, he's going to do it again. Nick Foles is going to come up with some sell your soul to the devil magic right here in the last 2 minutes, and he's going to beat the Saints and move on to the NFC Championship, where he probably won't be stopped. And then, thankfully, Alshon Jeffries has spared us from the mediocre quarterbacking of Nick Foles, so we don't have to see that anymore.
Although, I'll tell you this. Now, they're going to go with Carson Wentz. And we were talking about this. Like, let's say you're the Jags. Do you give up a first rounder for Nick Foles? Would you rather have Nick Foles over any of these quarterbacks that's going to come out this year? I'm not crazy about this quarterback situation.
It's not a great quarterback.
No, it's not. Would you rather have Nick Foles? Would you give up that first rounder for Nick Foles? If you're a team, Denver, if you're the Jags, even maybe the Raiders, whoever needs a quarterback, is Nick Foles your answer?
See, here's why I say no, because would he be better than a rookie quarterback? Yeah, obviously, but you're trying to find a solution. Like, the Texans found a solution. I mean, it's still in the early stages, but I feel pretty good about it. And I'm sure most of Houston does, too. We can pick at this or that, but Houston found a solution. They're not on the market anymore. They're not swiping, you know, they're not pulling up their football Tinder apps for quarterbacks. If you draft Nick Foles, if you trade for Nick Foles, you know that you're not only are you trading a first rounder, you're giving them you're giving them quality starters money, and on top of that, you probably are looking here in the next few years. You might have to start looking again. So, I don't know that he's necessarily a solution. Now, quarterbacks have longer shelf lives, so he could keep going for a while. But in the parlance of some of your people that I've seen in the movies, John, I think he's a fugazi. I don't think he's the real deal. I think that diamond is a fugazi, and if you purchase a Nick Foles, I think you're not going to get proper value.
You know, I'm with you. I don't know that I can hitch my wagon to Nick Foles and say that he's, because we've seen him look really good under Chip Kelly, have a great, great year, and then come back the next year and be less than average. And then, you know, the start of this season, after his Super Bowl run, the start of this season, he was just not great. And so I don't know if he can sustain it, not only a regular season, but year after year after year. And I don't know that I'm giving up a first rounder. He's about as difficult a read as anybody we've seen. I don't know what to think of him.
He's one of those guys that you would give up you'd be happy with giving up a second for if you're a decent team like the Jaguars. The Jaguars still have some talent. They might and the Broncos, I guess. Although I feel like the Broncos are further away than the Broncos think. But you second rounder, okay, I might consider second. It's just first and all that money? That just doesn't seem smart.
Right. His deal next year is 20.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And even if you redo the deal, it's going to be longer guaranteed.
Yeah. Money. And I think it would be. It's 1 year 20. And he would have to take. Although you look at Kirk Cousins, I mean, has Kirk Cousins won games like he has? No, not even close. Not even close. I mean, if you're Nick Foles, you go, look what I do when it's the most difficult time and the biggest pressure. Look what I do. And look what Kirk Cousins does. And you give him $99 million guaranteed. I mean, it's not even close. He's 4-26 against teams with winning records, Kirk Cousins, or something like 4-25.
Is that
whatever,
good?
Whatever the number is. Against teams with winning records, while Nick Foles is a Super Bowl MVP.
That doesn't sound good.
No,
that's
not good. It's as a matter of fact, it's terrible.
I didn't think it was. Yeah, I didn't think it was.
No, it's not good. That's a bad, bad record. All right, when we come back, who had the best, who had the worst weekends? Who had the best? Who had the worst weekends?
We'll lay out what the AFC and NFC championship games look like because it's it's the big boys. I mean, we get some pretty sweet rematches coming up in those games.
Absolutely.
I'm happy with the matchups.
Absolutely. Well, the four best. The four best are still alive right now. So we'll talk about that and more right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, 717 ESPN 97.5. John Lance in St. Pete's, and we're here in Houston, but he's with us here up until 9:30, where he'll join us at 9 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. You can join us at 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Who had a worse weekend, Jason Garrett or Bill O'Brien? And I say Bill O'Brien because how many tweets did you get about how crappy Bill O'Brien is after the Colts turned in that performance on Saturday?
Oh, you know what? I got Texans-related tweets.
I got 1,000.
I don't think it was a ton of Bill O'Briens. I did get some Bill O'Briens, but I got mostly Texans-related just in general.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Kansas City was ready to roll. The very first drive for KC, I was like, well, this isn't happening for the Colts. Because Pat Mahomes is on fire, and they just look ready to go. And Tyreek Hill was just going to be impossible to cover. Tyreek Hill is the one guy, to me, that could just be the difference in winning. Tyreek and Travis Kelce are so uniquely talented in unique situations and positions to affect games that – I mean, I think you have to make them the favorite to win the Super Bowl. I think you do. I don't know if they are. I think they might be right now. But to me, they're just too hard to guard.
Do you think, all right, Will Belichick, because he didn't slow him down. I think he had 3 TDs in the second half of that game at Gillette that the Patriots won earlier this year. The Patriots jumped out on him, and then the Chiefs came back. Pat Mahomes had an average first half and then had exploded in the second half, and they weren't able to slow him down. Can Belichick somehow slow Tyreek Hill down?
I mean,
who do you?
So Belichick's whole thing is to take away your best option.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the best option.
How
do you match his speed?
I don't know. I mean, you physically can't match him. Do you just play a ton of zone? I mean, I'm not sure what you do to take away Tyreek Hill because he can be moved around. You can't play man.
Isn't that what the Chargers decided to do yesterday? And then Tom Brady just dumped in all day long. How many catches did James White have? 1,000.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about Tyreek Hill.
And, yeah, right.
I mean, I would probably just try to zone up Tyreek and zone up. And I know that they say statistically that he's done a great job. Pat Mahomes are dicing people up from zone, but I would rather have him try to dink and dunk his way down the field if possible. They were getting chunk yards against the Colts, and it was just lights out. You know, it was just lights out because they could get – it was just every play was a – in the first half, every play was a chunk play, and it was just too much for him. It is interesting, though, that Tom Brady apparently had a sprained MCL, which can have an impact, obviously, on accuracy because if you're a quarterback, the transference of weight – can be a big issue, and now he's supposedly healthy. And boy, he looked like he was playoff Tom in terms of his ability to manage games and put points on the board. Are we in for another shootout like we saw last time? It was in Foxborough last time, and that was a high-flying game. This time it's going to be 10 to 15 degrees, but you know who's won in that weather before? Tom Brady.
Yeah.
God, please don't let him win again.
It didn't seem to bother the Chiefs last week. I mean, it didn't seem to bother him Saturday.
No, it was in the 20s, and I guess this is going to be closer to 10 to 12. You tell me. You lived in Chicago. How much of a difference is there between – I felt like when we were in New York for the Super Bowl in 2014, I could feel a difference when it was in the teens versus when it was in the 20s. I didn't think I would, but, man, there's just something special about – when it says 1-3, 1-4.
Yeah. No, it's special. There's no question about it.
It's colder than the 20s. I mean, you can tell.
And the humidity in the air matters. It does. There's a certain, like, coming off of the lake in Chicago, it is biting.
So in Kansas City, you obviously don't have to worry about that.
You don't have that. So I don't know how, you know, there is a difference. Trust me, there is a huge difference when you're coming off the lake like that. Hey, look, the Chiefs look just fine. It was cold in Foxborough. Tom Brady doesn't care about cold. Here's the thing. Tom Brady hasn't won on the road in the AFC Championship game since 2006, I think. That's the last time he won. He's lost now every time was to Peyton Manning. I don't know that.
And he's always got home field advantage.
I know this. This Pat Mahomes is better than the Peyton Manning he saw in Denver. I know he's a lot better than that. So, I don't know that anybody can tell. You know, you got Stephon Gilmore, who I think is the best corner. I think he played better than anybody this year. He was the best corner in the league. Do you even move him to the slot and put him all over Tyreek all
no,
day
long?
No,
he's a bad matchup. He's a tall. No, he can't stay with him.
I don't think he can't run with him. There's no way.
No.
I mean, so, yeah. I mean, but I don't know. He was running with a lot of guys this year. I'm telling you. And surprisingly fast guys, too. I don't know. I think that I'm not sure, but Tyreek Hill off. I don't know that anybody can cover. Nobody can run with him. The dude's he's a track star.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. So Tom Brady, I mean, here we are again. There he is again. And even when he has, this is just like the Spurs. I mean, I just can't believe how much the Spurs and the Patriots mirror each other. Even when they aren't great during the season, at the end of the year. You know, you're saying, well, this doesn't feel like the same Spurs team. And then at the end of the year, they're in position. You know, they got a home court advantage. You know, they're in the top four. And you think, well, they made it inside the top four. And then, before you know it, they're in the Western Conference Finals. And you just think, man, how are they there again? It's the same. Obviously, New England does it a lot more than San Antonio. But it's that same feeling where even when you don't have a great season. The flip the switch thing, I mean, how long can the Patriots just flip the switch? This just seems incredible. Now, they benefited a lot from San Diego having to go east in back-to-back games. Hey, but that's on San Diego. San Diego blew games that they could have won against inferior opponents, or they would have had that home field advantage, and they didn't have it because they blew it late in the season.
Yeah, that Denver game was a...
It was a killer.
Was a killer. Was a killer for him. And you're right. I mean... Listen, Brady was thrown off balance. He was doing he was hurting. When he went down, what game was it? In the Miami game, he goes down to the ground. Now, he said he was fixing his knee brace or whatever, but he's running off the field, and he's got to sit down to adjust or whatever. He looked like all season long, he looked like he was in some pain. And you're right, if he's better now, he certainly looked like Tom Brady from 10 years ago yesterday. Of course, it was all a lot of dink and dunk, but that's just – he just played smart football. They dominated that football game, against a really, really good football team. I'm not sure, though, that the Chargers' defensive strategy was all that great. Well, they didn't attack nearly the way – now, maybe you're scared to attack Tom Brady. I don't know, because Tom Brady will eat you up if you try to – if you blitz him, if you put all that pressure on. But they didn't touch Tom Brady all day. How can you let Tom Brady just sit back there and pick you apart? I just understand. I didn't understand at all what the Chargers were doing.
Everything is about getting rushers, and then the Chargers. Well, you try to throw Brady different curveballs. The problem is he responds pretty well to curveballs. He's seen it all. He's 59 years old. He's seen everything. So you're not going to show him something that he hasn't seen. And if you want to drop a bunch of guys in coverage, I think you have to just get in his face from inside, from interior rushers. You got to get into his face. If you come from the perimeter, he's just going to dice you up. You got to get into his face because he's not very mobile. So that's the only time I've really seen him rattled is when teams can A-gap blitz him right up the middle. The Texans had some success in that first half against him a couple years back. The Steelers have had success in years past with it. He just doesn't like that. But if you can't do that, that's too bad. And you know what? How about the number two running back on my board this year was Sony Michel, and man, oh man, oh man, has he made a difference. It's, you know, during the year it was like a little hit or miss at different times. Wasn't he hurt, John? You had him in your fantasy team, I know.
Yeah, I picked him up as my he was
wasn't he hurt?
Yeah, he got
at
hurt.
At one point.
Second play against the, I forget which game it was, but yeah, he was out for about close to a month. And he has just come back now strong. I mean, when he came back, he wasn't the same guy. He's back. He's back to being that guy again. That's the problem with Sonny Michel is, is he going to be able to stay healthy? That dude with Tom Brady. Tom Brady just says, Sonny Michel, this is your game. Go. And it is, he's one of those. Yeah, I'll tell you this, in fantasy, you can't be afraid to take a rookie running back anymore. Look at what the rookie running, Saquon. Look at Sonny Michel. The year before, with Kareem Hunt. It's guy after guy after guy, the rookie running backs that are just dominating in the league. And you don't even have to be a top pick.
Now, yeah. But Sony's a perfect fit for them because he's a hammerhead. He's north and south. They've got a pass catcher, too. This is going to be a really fun matchup. From a personal standpoint, I obviously have some friends who are with the Colts, so I wouldn't have minded seeing them move forward. But they're not ready. I mean, they're not on that level. You can't go from being a really bad team to a great team overnight. And they're not a great team. I think they're a good team that's trending. But they weren't ready to take on the juggernaut that has been KC. Let's just remember now, KC was absolutely untouchable until they ran into life without Kareem Hunt for the most part. They were untouchable offensively. Now, we saw the score start coming down lately and in the playoffs. And then, I don't think it's – I think we're in – I don't care if it's 10 degrees. I think we're going to have points up there. Kansas City's defense isn't good. And frankly, New England's defense isn't that great. So I don't care how cold it is. I think we're going to see some points coming up here with two of the best coaches in the AFC. I mean, they have to. Andy Reid and Bill Belichick, they're the two best coaches in the AFC. And it's two of the best quarterbacks, obviously, in the AFC. In the NFC, we got rid of the Cowboys. Too bad, so sad. They're out of here. And then you've got the Rams who look – how about C.J. Anderson, fat C.J. Anderson? When I saw Anderson, I'm like, who is Anderson? I didn't recognize him.
Who's that?
He looked exactly like Jerome Bettis now. He's number 35. Bettis is 36. They're in the throwback Rams jerseys.
I thought that was Mike Tolbert.
Yeah.
That's what he looked like.
It did look like Mike Tolbert. All right, 729 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Jeff, you're first up. Anybody else wants in? Come on, 713-780-3776.
Yeah. To all the than $100 billers. For real, who ain't got no feelings.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Did you guys see the new Game of Thrones trailer? Del? You're not watching any of them.
I saw it because it's a teaser and it doesn't give anything away. It's just like, hey, look, the Starks are back together. So yeah. It wasn't like any footage from the actual show, so that's why I watched it.
Is it a trailer?
It's a teaser. It's like a, hey, get ready for the season, but they give you a date, which is April 14th, I believe.
April 14th.
But they don't give you any footage from the actual show.
That's not from the actual show?
No, it's just like, hey, get hyped. It's a teaser. Get hyped for the show, but we're not going to give you anything from the actual show.
Yeah, they're in the caves?
They're in the Stark crypts, and you see John walks past. What we find out some people knew before that, was his mother, his actual mother, as opposed to his aunt.
And didn't his father say something to him, too?
His father said, have my name, but you're Stark. That was the last time he spoke with his dad, because his dad, Ned, went to King's Landing. John went to the Wall. And then we know Ned got his head chopped off at King's Landing later in the season.
That's the first episode.
It's the first season.
What about if you're
second and last
watching
episode,
and you're
maybe?
Like, this Ned Stark guy looks like he's going to be my favorite.
He's Sean Bean. He always dies. They should have known as soon as Sean Bean was in the show, he was going to die.
He was Faramir. He died
in that, too. He died in that Robert De Niro movie when he got all the crooks together to rob something.
Yeah.
He died in that one, too.
He dies all the time.
He dies all the time.
He dies more. I think he's died more than any actor ever.
He's up there. If outside of people are in horror movies, like in legitimate movies, he dies the most.
Yeah, but if you're in a horror movie, you die.
That's
once.
What I'm saying. Some people make their living in horror movies. Like, there's a couple actors who just aren't a lot of them. He dies in legitimate, normal movies all the time. Where you could say, oh, this guy could survive. No, he's going
to
die.
He can't. He has to die. So April 14th, the date.
Get ready. That teaser ran right before the new season of True Detective with Mahershala Ali. Oh,
speaking of which, the first episode's out, right?
Yeah, it came out last night.
Did you watch it?
Wait a minute. True Detective just came out?
Season 3 was the start of season 3 was last night.
Season 2 sucked.
Yeah, I like Rachel McAdams, but the season sucked, so I didn't get through it. I'm going to watch season 3.
It was so painful. It was so bad. This one, I read a review about this one that said Mahershala's awesome, and it's better. It's better than 2, and it was like kind of a little tepid, but I'm going to give it a shot. I mean, the season 1 was just so good. It's just, and it kind of came out of nowhere. And I, you know, a guy that I never think I like is Woody Harrelson. And then when I start thinking of different movies, I'm like, well, yeah, I like that. Yeah, he was okay in that. Yeah, he wasn't bad in that. Woody was, I don't like Woody Harrelson, I don't feel like. And then, but you know, he was good in that scene. Now, I do like Matthew McConaughey. I do like him in pretty much all his roles. But man, that was a really, really good one.
Why don't you like Woody Harrelson? What did Woody Harrelson do?
I don't know. Nothing. I never felt like he's a great actor. And then it ends up that he's just decent. You know, this is on a serious note, and I know I saw it years ago, but it still holds up to this day. It's just a little dated, but it holds up. Is White Man Can't Jump is still a really fun movie to watch, where Woody's the hustler. Now, of course, Rosie, what's her name?
Perez, Rosie Perez.
Rosie Perez, that accent is super annoying. Her voice, not the accent, her voice is super annoying throughout that as the girlfriend. But he and Woody Harrelson and Tax Evasion.
Oh, Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes. Yeah, I call him Tax Evasion, I guess.
You call him Blade. Show some respect.
Yeah,
Blade. Man, they were really, really good together. You know who else is really good together and I think should just keep going forever? Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett. And I was happy to read over the weekend that it looks like Jason Garrett, they're working on an extension. You know, get you Cowboy fans taken care of a little longer. Eerily similar to Bill O'Brien, you've got 3 division titles in 5 years. So I think that's good. He's 2-4 in the playoffs, 2-3, 2-4. So, yeah, extension again. And isn't it weird? Doesn't Jerry Jones feel like the owner who would be flipping through, you know, coaches left and right? And yet here he is. He's like Bob McNair was with everybody, where it was almost impossible to get fired by Bob McNair, especially if you're a general manager. It was almost impossible. It feels like Jason Garrett just can't do anything wrong with Jerry Jones. This is incredible.
It's awesome. And surprisingly, he's not going to listen to T.O. and get him fired. T.O. shooting tweets at Jason Garrett after that, for that last 2 wins in 10 years. Jerry, come on. And yet, Jerry is going to continue to stay with Jason Garrett, which is just fine by me. It's awesome, I think.
I like that consistency for you Cowboy fans that y'all know what you get every year.
Let's get Jeff in here. He's been waiting to talk on the radio. Shortest wait times in the business right here on this show. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, guys. So I wanted to talk about the Patriots-Chiefs game. Main reason is I went to Texas Tech, so I watched Pat Mahomes in college. And, you know, Davis Webb, Baker Mayfield. So I know Patrick Mahomes pretty well. And my family are also big Patriots fans, so I kind of have a rooting interest on both sides. And people kind of know the template to beat Tom Brady is hopefully have shutdown corners during the game, not necessarily during, you know, having a shutdown corner, but shutdown coverage on receivers, punch Tom Brady in the mouth. That's a typical template. For Pat Mahomes, it's typically a little different because he's so new, but what people don't realize about Mahomes is he had really bad habits because Cliff was awful at recruiting. Those offensive lines were terrible. You saw it in the LSU game when it was just him versus LSU. he had to make a lot of throws, throw off the wrong foot, throw across the field when he shouldn't. So I think for me, if I'm the Patriots, the secret to beating Mahomes isn't trying to get at him every time. It's literally going to be 4 to 6 throws a game, and Lance can talk about his bad habits that Reed probably corrected a lot of when he sat out.
Yes.
But there's about 4 to 6 throws a game with Mahomes. You're just going to hold your breath. And that's really going to be the secret to beating the Chiefs, I feel like, is forcing Mahomes to make a throw he thinks he can make, because he's kind of like Brett Favre 2.0 in that. And I think that's really who I would compare him to. He's crazy good, but he takes these weird chances nobody else you think would, because he's so talented. And I really think that's the secret to beating Mahomes, because if you just try to rush him, he's already good at being comfortable under the rush because of his college experience. He's a great cold weather quarterback, and I'll let you talk about that.
You know what? I agree with everything Trader Jeff just said. I think he's dead on.
And you mean by traitor, like he likes to make trades, not Jeff.
No, he's not a traitor to his country or his school, Texas Tech. I mean, yeah, he
likes to make trades.
He says, listen, guys, what about this? And then he goes, James Harden 4 or Jadeveon Clowney or J.J. Watt 4. But in terms of this, I think that is the key. With Pat Mahomes, you just got to maybe bait him into a throw that he thinks he can make that turns into a turnover. This game really could swing on 3 Pat Mahomes throws that he probably shouldn't make. And we see him get away with it all the time. But I think that was a very accurate assessment of how you have to try to beat Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, but can you stop those 4 or 6? I mean, because it seems like he does it every game. I mean, on the run, throwing across his body, across the field, he finds Tariq Hill.
How is he going to beat? You know what? He compared him to Brett Favre. I swear to God, that was running through my head during the game. I was like, God, this is Brett Favre. God, this is Brett Favre. And, you know, and John Dorsey was there drafting him, and John Dorsey had Brett Favre in Green Bay, and it made total sense. And they loved his swagger when they talked to him, and they loved his ability to process information quickly when they had him up on the board, even though he didn't know NFL passing attacks. But you know what? When I was watching him throw, John, you know what he was reminding me of? When I saw him drop down 3-quarter and make this one throw, I'm like, he's got Aaron Rodgers' arm talent. I mean, this is Aaron Rodgers' arm talent. Brett Favre had a good arm. He didn't have Aaron Rodgers' arm. But he's got the bravado of Brett Favre. I would agree with that, but I think he's got it with Aaron Rodgers' arm. That's what makes him so special.
He reminds me a lot of Stafford going down shooting his arm from all different angles as well. Just much more athletic.
One Kansas City fan likes you saying that.
You what?
Not one Chiefs fan likes you saying that.
Well, he does. Stafford's got that kind of arm talent too, where he can go come from wherever.
Yeah, that's true.
Only more athletic, and he's just really, really good. It'll be interesting to say, hey, the stage wasn't too big for him. You know, we talked about this before. What big games has he won? Because he didn't play in any big games at Texas Tech. He didn't, you know, he obviously couldn't win much there. He didn't win against the best teams in the NFL this season. Although he played well, it was his defense mostly that was at fault for not winning those football games. But man, that defense shut down. Andrew Luck looked that Colts offense. How in the world did they play the way that they did against the Texans and then look like that the very next week?
You think let's remember now, they're a dome team. You think they were affected by the cold?
Could well have been, although I would imagine that they practiced outside all week. I mean,
I don't know.
You wouldn't have in Indiana. Wouldn't you have done that if you were them?
Well, at their practice, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, they have outdoors at the practice.
Well, you go to a high school, you do whatever you have to do. I mean, you practice outside when you're going to play in that kind of weather. I mean, if they didn't, that's on them. To go from inside all week long to out in that, it's no wonder they played the way that they did.
Yeah, Andrew Luck wasn't very good. His wide receivers just looked kind of average. They couldn't really get Eric Ebron going early in that game. He had a couple drops. So
yeah, he had some drops. And oh, by the way, I'm watching the highlights right now on ESPN. It's unstoppable, because Mahomes will step up in the pocket and look like he's going to run, and then find somebody.
Just flings it out of nowhere.
And just out of nowhere, he's got Travis Kelce sitting there wide open. It's unstoppable. And I don't know. I don't know that, you know, it's got to be another shootout. Although, if you play a shootout in the regular season, what usually happens in the second game? If you're going to play a shootout,
it could happen like that. But do you really see Kansas City being involved in a game where they slow people down?
No,
I don't either. That's the problem I have. Is like they're going to have to fire away.
Let's see. What is it? It is
three. Damian Williams looked good too.
Three. And what do you think the under over is?
If the Colts was 56, I'm going to go 58.5.
It's 57 on both games. The Saints are 3.5-point favorites, 57. The Chiefs are 3-point favorites, 57.
Well, both those games went way over that number the first time they played. So we'll get to those. We'll talk about that. And then James Harden has been playing absolutely lights out. He tied an NBA record.
Is he really?
He has been. Yeah, he has been.
Have you looked at the shooting that's going on?
Well, okay. So the shooting,
his numbers,
the last three-ish have not been great.
Nope.
He tied an NBA record that wasn't great yesterday.
No,
he's Allen Iverson.
The worst thing.
Look
you
at
could
the
say.
Numbers.
He set an NBA record yesterday that wasn't a good one.
Him and Damon Stoudemire, only two to miss 16 threes in a game.
16
if you look at the
misses.
Numbers, the volume shooting, and I get he's scoring and he has
to. That was my tease. I was teasing about what the record was going to be, and you just blew it.
Sorry, I'm being you. I like to crush teases.
He tied two records yesterday. Kobe and Stoudemire.
Yeah, that's a
John,
bad
you
tease.
You just took another tease. You just took another tease.
Well, he tied two records yesterday. What were they?
One of them
when
good.
When we come back.
One of them bad.
Right after Lance does some testosterone.
Right here. Yeah, come over here. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Doc. I brought Michael with me, my doctor, and he's giving me the treatment right now. At Men's T Clinic, actually, I am supposed to be going in today is when I usually go in, but I'm in Tampa instead. So what will happen is when I get in Thursday morning, I will just run in, and they'll make an adjustment to my dosage to get me caught up. And that's what they do. They will adjust you. The main thing with Men's T Clinic, it's not just getting diagnosed with low testosterone. That's the key. It's the first key. It's the most important thing. But when you find out that's the reason that you've been sluggish, that's the reason why your drive is diminished, or your maybe your body type, you're not hanging on to lean muscle mass the way you did before. Your workouts don't matter as much. Well, the important thing, and the reason that some places fail, is they don't keep working with you to find the optimal level for you and your body. And that's the big difference with Men's T Clinic. You're going to see a provider every single time, not just a nurse. You're going to see a provider every single time who will meet with you. They check your weight, your blood pressure. They go through your side effects, any symptoms, nothing good, how you feeling. And they find out where you are. And if they need to make adjustments, they will. It's important for them that you are your best you and that you live your best life. And that's what Men's T Clinic is going to give you a chance to do. If you've been with someone else and you didn't see results, chances are they did not have you at the right levels. And Men's T Clinic will get you there. I promise you that. They did it for me. They can do it for you. They've done it for thousands of men just like you. They're in Cypress, in the Heights, they're in Pasadena, in Pearland, and they're waiting for you. Stop. This is a new year, so your resolution should be to have the best year of your life. This is a great way to start doing it. MincedTClinic.com.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 7:52 ESPN 97.5. Let's take a look, just for a second, at James Harden's last, let's say, five games.
Are you prepared to slander your MVP? Is this what you're
prepared to do? 1-for-17 yesterday, Lance. 1-for-17 from three.
Yeah, guess what's fun? Guess what he did? Guess what he did the night before? Probably had fun in Orlando like an MVP is supposed to.
Well, probably. 8-for-16 against Cleveland from three.
Bottle service.
Wonderful. 6-for-16 the game before that. 6-for-15. 5-for-17 in the loss to Portland.
Iverson would have shot it 30 times.
Against Against Milwaukee, he was 6 for 16, but he missed his last 4 3-point attempts in the final 2 minutes. And they lose not because of him, but you know he's got to make those as opposed to, I'm torn. Does he give up the ball when he's double covered? Did Milwaukee tell you and now Orlando tell you how to beat James Harden in the final minutes of a game?
You always give up the ball when you're double covered. Well, always.
He doesn't.
Well, I know, but he should. And I want James Harden taking my important shots, but at the same time, you don't take bad shots. It's never about taking bad shots. If you don't trust your teammates, then just keep being you're just going to be just a good player. You'll never be great. Like, to be a great team, you got to be able to trust teammates. You got to have guys that can knock down shots. James isn't shooting it as well right now. We obviously know that. That loss yesterday, though, you want to talk about running out of gas. They were outscored 18-4 down the stretch. They couldn't get a stop. And that momentum just completely – I mean, that was a grit. That looked like it was going to be a pretty gritty little nice win on the road. And then they just fell apart at the end of that game. Couldn't get a make. Couldn't get a good look at the basket. And then couldn't remotely come close to getting a stop against Orlando.
I'm torn on his – okay, so he's 11 of 32 yesterday for 38 points. 13 for 30 against the Bucks for 42 points. 13 for 35 for 38 points against Portland. When he's shooting over 30 times, now he shot over 30 times against Golden State, but he's only 13 for 32 against Golden State. And fortunately, he was 10 for 23 from three. So that, but when he's shooting 30 plus times.
Yeah, that is Iverson stuff right there.
That is.
Yeah.
I mean,
James Harden should never be in the 30. Shot range. I mean, really no NBA player should be 30, but especially if you go the free throw line as much as James goes, he should never have over 30 attempts.
Hey, how much is he thinking about this 30-point run? Oh,
100%.
Yeah.
You think it was an accident that James and James is getting triple doubles all the time when he and Russell Westbrook were in triple double races? No. They were going for the MVP. Triple double was the thing, and those guys were going for triple doubles. James is taking this these shot. I didn't realize the shot totals were that high. This is way, way more. I guess watching games, it feels like James is, just running the offense. But man, those shot totals are substantially higher than he's taken in the past.
Yeah, and his step back was bad.
Yeah.
He actually took more step back threes. According to Second Spectrum, Harden was 1 for 13 on step back 3-point field goals. He missed more step back threes than any other player has attempted over the last 5 seasons. He missed more than any other player has attempted. I mean, that's a signature shot of his, but when it's bad, it's really, really bad. 1 for 17 from 3 yesterday. That's horrific.
And right now, he's taking, let's see, over his career. Well, even over last year, he's taking 2 more shots per game, almost 3 more threes per game, and the shooting percentage from 3 is actually better than last year. The overall, it's worse. I mean, if you look at the numbers have steadily kind of increased, as you imagine, as more of a load has been put on him, considering what the Rockets need him to do. But the missing Chris Paul is what this is about.
Yeah. I mean, does he have to do this?
It's
hard.
He probably does.
He might have to do
it. I don't know when PJ Tucker, I mean, when PJ had 11 and he was 7 for 11, didn't they look like a good basketball team?
No, I think there's some games where he does have to do it. He has to be ready to do it. You don't have to do it every game, but you have to be a predominant shooter and scorer. But remember the game where Crazy Gerald had a big game, and it was PJ and Crazy Gerald, and there was and Austin Rivers. And Austin had 25 yesterday. I can't believe Austin Rivers is not a total scrub. This is unbelievable. I'm sorry, Daryl Morey, Executive of the Year again, Manny. I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you.
PJ, it was the Denver game. I mean, that's a good basketball team that they played. He was at PJ Tucker, 7 from 11 from 3. James was 6 for 15, which is fine. But Crazy Gerald was 6 for 10.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That's what you get that with Crazy Gerald.
Because he's Crazy Gerald. That's what he is.
Because he's crazy, Gerald. So the Rockets lost one on the road, but it's how they lost it. You're not going to be happy with that. And James is turning into a volume shooter. Any word? Has anyone seen anything lately on Chris Paul? I know it's been out of sight, out of mind, but you know there was some crazy stuff out there for a while that was, oh, he could be 4 to 6 weeks, and it was 2 to 3 months. Where do we stand right now on Chris Paul?
I don't understand. I saw almost, I mean, right away it was 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Remember when we were talking at the Christmas party? He got hurt the night before, and we were talking, well, he'll be back by New Year's. No, I mean, I think 2 days later it came out he's out 6 to 8 weeks. So I think he's still a couple, 3 weeks away, but, you know, that's just what you got to deal with. But let him come back. Now you've got Austin Rivers scoring 25. Let him come back and play 20 to 25 minutes a game. That's it. I know you're gonna go back and rely on him again. Keep him healthy. Let him play fewer minutes. Let him do what he does. But you need him at the end. How much could you have used Chris Paul last night?
Oh, tremendously. Anytime James is bricking, you could use him.
Yeah, absolutely. So he takes the ball away from him, and he actually puts up some mid-range jumpers and maybe stops that run. Somehow, some way, does something to stem the tide. Because they got nothing. It's almost identical to the Golden State game.
Or it's identical to Rocket teams before Chris Paul. It looks the same as it used to look, where you just realize, man, either James has a big game or they're going to have a hard time winning. Hey, when we come back, we got to get to this Kyler Murray story, because this is all of a sudden really interesting. Mm-hmm. I've been writing off Kyler Murray playing baseball, and I've been writing off Scott Boras. And now all of a sudden something interesting has happened. We'll tell you about why Scott Boras may end up having the last laugh, and maybe this is the long con that Scott Boras has been running all along. We'll bring it up here when we come back in a second.
I'm looking at the Rockets tonight. They're 6.5-point favorites over the Grizz. Who you like? Who you got? Under over 207. I'm on mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag. Now I'm going to go over to the NFL playoffs. Yep. Let's see. Oh, it's the Saints 3.5 and the Chiefs 3, both under overs at 57. Now the under overs moved up to 57.5 for the Chiefs. People are jumping on the over in that Patriots Chiefs game. Well, here's the deal. Do you want to play it? Well, if you want to play any of these games, all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag. Promo code radio. They match your initial deposit, half of it. Half of your initial deposit right now, they're going to match at mybookie.ag. You can bet on the golf season is here. You love soccer. You know something about soccer. You can bet on all of the European teams, whatever you want. Tennis, no one knows anything about tennis. But you know what? You might be able to win. If you recognize any of the names out there on the tennis tour, then you should bet on them. Okay, Canadian football, Major League Baseball, any kind of special horse racing, you've got it all. Casino gambling, you've got it at mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. You play, you win, they pay. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio.